Thank you, Rabbi. Every time I come here, I enjoy, of course, to see the progress of this beautiful yeshiva with the wonderful work that the staff is doing here. Today we will speak about what would happen after you graduate one day. Right now you kids, you're becoming teenagers, soon you'll be adults, and soon you'll be out of school. Before you realize it, time is flying. I used to have black hair one time. Before you realize it gets white or there's no hair at all. And then you move on with your life. Many people think, I'm in school. Johnny is in school. Chris is in school. Mustafa is in school. I'm also in school. People have to go to school 12 years. Then after school, either work or college, whatever you decide, and then move on with your life. Get married, have children, work, make money, buy a house, you know. This is good for goyim. For non-Jews, they made a law in the United States, they made a law in Israel. You have to learn 12 years. You cannot walk on the street. You get walk in the street, you get arrested. And then your parents get into trouble. You have to be in some kind of a school. That's the law of the state. Most countries have these laws. They have to have X amount of years of learning. Many Jews, because of the influence of the country where they live, they think that, okay, this is the law. I'll be in school until 12th grade. And after that, school finished. No more learning, no more Torah. Right now, I have to pass the test, I have to get the degree, whatever. This is a very big mistake. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, you know there's one rule in the Torah that not many Jews understand. Do you know what it means, Chok Chinuch Chova in Hebrew? Chok Chinuch Chova. Chok, Chinuch, it's education. Chova means obligation. Chok, it's a law. The law of the obligation to get education. What is it? 12 years. After that, you're free. You can walk on the street, you can stay home, you can do whatever you want. The government do not interfere. They catch you on the street when you're 12 and you're not going to school. Like I said, you get into trouble. But what happened after? You become 18, you graduate. That's it. Nobody talks to you. But according to the Torah, this Chok Chinuch Chova, the obligation to learn and to be educated, until what age it is, do you know?
You pass the first one? Until you go on to the next world.
Until the last breath you take. Good. Until you go like this. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, goodbye. And you go to Olam Haba. Till that second, this chok, this law, never expire. A person is connected to machine, lo aleinu. The doctor gave him 1 hour to live. He has that hour, he has obligation to learn Torah. A person is old, 70, 90, whatever you want to call him. He walks in the street like this. He knocks on the door. Give me money. Why? I have to help my children to give them food. Still have some. Give me, collect. Old man like this in the snow. Right? Hey, grandpa, come. Let me give you a ride. That second, he has obligation to learn Torah. Never goes away. Sick. Smart, stupid, rich, poor, healthy, all kinds of people, until the last second of their life, they have obligation to learn Torah. The Torah says, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, page Gimel, it says like this, Im lo briti yomam valayla, chukot shamayim vaaretz lo samti. If not, the covenant that I made with you in Har Sinai, the world cannot exist 1 minute without Jews learning Torah. Why? The world is running, the world is turning, the world is moving, oxygen is supplied, trees are growing, everything you see here, stock markets, cars, traffic, you know, diamond dealers, real estate deals, government deals, armies, wars, everything that you see in the world. What's the battery of all this? It's you, every one of you. If somebody asks you, thanks to who the world exists, You shouldn't be ashamed of say thanks to me. How many people in the world can say the world exists thanks to me? Not even 0.01% of the people. There are 13.2 million Jews in the world from 7.4 billion Goyim. We are 0.02%. 1% of the world divided by 50. One piece of it is the Jews. Everyone understands that everything revolves around the Jews. Everywhere you go. All over the media, all over the history, Nobel Prize winners, business people, professor, finance, politics, doctors, best, everything the best, best lawyer, best judges, everywhere, whatever they touch is always blessed. You know, one person told me that now the Muslims in, I think Uzbekistan, one of these countries there, that they offer the Jews to come back to the country and the government will give them all kinds of benefits. After they forced them out with their behaving, they realized it took away all their blessing. They want them to come back. If you check the history, you see every country the Jews, most of the Jews were there, they became the empire of the world. In the time of Babel, Babylon, Galut Babel, they are the strongest in the world. Iran, Persia, all the Jews, Mordechai, Esther, all the story, they are the empire of the world. Egypt, the Jews got to Egypt, Paro, Eretz Goshen, the strongest country in the world. Even in modern days, when the Jews were in Russia, Russia was the strongest country in the world. They were in Russia and they were in the United States. Both countries were blessed. They are the strongest in the world. The Russians kicked the Jews out or let them go. As soon as the Jews left Russia, what happened? They collapsed. Russia broke to pieces. There used to be 5 rubles for a dollar. Overnight, it became 500 for a dollar. The value of their money went 100 times lower overnight. Do you know what a disaster it is? It's a miracle they're still alive. Technically, it was a huge miracle that they still survived. Why? Technically, when something like this happened, people begin to kill each other on the streets. You know what a devastation is this? Imagine you walk all your life, you're 60 years old, and now you saved $100 million, you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, and it became $1 million. You know what the tragedy is this for those people when they live for their money? Everything in their life is money. They don't have Torah, they have nothing else besides money. You take a Russian person that worked 30 years in a union, in a train, in all kinds of mines, and he saved $100,000 after he killed himself like a dog. And then he went to sleep and he woke up in the morning and he has no money left, only $1,000 left. What happened if something like this happened here in America? What would happen here? Disaster. All the banks collapse, the army, people kill each other on the street. Miracle that they still survive. They let the Jew go, Russia collapsed. Look what's happening until today with the problem, Ukraine, this, Georgia, wars there. Iran, the Shah, it was very good to the Jews. All Jews testify. He wasn't a good king to his nation, but for the Jews it was okay. It did not bother them. The Jews were the wealthiest, the smartest in Iran, and in key positions. Khomeini took over, some of the Jews ran, some of them were depressed there. Iran collapsed to starvation. Most people have nothing to eat there. Also, their money doesn't worth anything. The richest Iranian guy cannot even buy a house here in Queens with his money. Why? Because the money is, he lost all the value, especially now with the embargo, with the sanction. No matter where you go, you find that that's the case. In Spain, Spanish Inquisition, the Jews were all living in Spain. Spain was the strongest and richest country in the world. They killed the Jews and forced them to leave the country. Where is Spain today? They're starving to bread until today, 500 years. No one cares about Spain, Bechlal. What do they have to offer? Germany. The Jews were in power in Germany. Hitler came, killed them. What happened to Germany? It became another country. They're not the empire anymore. Where the Jews are, that's where Hashem is. In Eretz Israel, Eretz Asher Enei Elokecha Ba Mireshit Hashana Vad Acharita. Eretz Israel, it's like the eyes of Hashem is focusing on, it's all over the world, of course. But mainly, this is my property. This is my home, right here in Eretz Israel. So the Torah says, the people that learn Torah maintain the world. Thanks to them, everybody eats. Thanks to them, people can breathe. Thanks to them, people function. Thanks to them, there is roads. There's everything that we have. Thanks to you. It's not a joke. It's not a cliche. This is, if you believe in Hashem, in the Torah, even Goyim knows it. You know how many Goyim send me emails? You're the chosen people. You're lucky Hashem gave you the Torah. Can I also learn Torah? I heard in your lecture, Goyim not allowed to learn Torah. I'm begging. Can you tell me which Torah I can learn? You understand, he's a smart Goy. Don't take for granted what you have. You don't understand how lucky you are. Remember, from 13.2 million Jews, that is one, that is 0.02% of the world. Which means 99.98% of the world do not learn Torah. Now, from the 0.02% that learn Torah, that are Jews, how many of them learn Torah? Maybe 1 million. So now divided the 0.02% divided by 10. What is it? Almost nobody. So it's a small VIP group that maintain the world. So what do you think? When you be 18, it's over? Your job is over? Your job is never over. The job is stay until the last breath we take. Rashi said, Im lo briti, if not my brit that I wrote, my Torah, the covenant, shetie noeget yomam valayla, that will go around the clock with people learning in it. The Torah says, Vagita bam yomam balayla. We have to learn in them around the clock, Hashem says. Right? Then, chukot shamayim va'aretz, the law of heaven and earth, will be dismissed immediately. One time, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was walking to the yeshiva, Purat Yosef, and he saw one of the Talmidim, is looking at the bulletin, reading something on the street. Flyer. So he ran. Wasn't such a healthy person. But even before he became half paralyzed, he jumped and he said, come, run after me, run. The kid, he was a teenager. He got very nervous. The Rosh Yeshiva is running like this, with the Gemara in his hand, run. So what happened, Rabbi? He got very nervous. Run, there's no time now. Emergency, run. He ran after him. They come to the Yeshiva. He said, sit. I open him the Gemara, he said, Kadima, learn. The guy was in shock. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. So what do you mean nothing happened? Do you believe in Hashem or no? Of course I believe in Hashem. Do you believe the Torah is from Hashem? Of course. What am I doing here in Yeshiva if not? So he said to him, so if you believe in the Torah, you know that only few people give the world what the world has. Thanks to the world, everyone eats. Thanks to the world, everyone breathes. Thanks to the Torah. So you're one of the soldiers who bring prosperity to the world, and you were standing on the street reading flyers of nonsense of some kind of a show instead of doing your job. Now you may come and say, okay, but I'm not interested to have this job. I'd rather be a doctor, cure people. It's also good. I will be a lawyer. I'll help people in court. It's also good. I'll be a driver, I'll bring the food to the yeshiva. It's also good. Mm-hmm. You can find yourself many excuses. So if somebody offering you diamonds, you want to replace it with silver? When I used to teach in yeshiva, they had toranuyot. You know what toranuyot? Every day it's your turn, tomorrow your friend, tomorrow, and every day somebody else has to take the yeshiva car and go bring the food from one of the families. So one time, the guy that was supposed to go wasn't there. So they asked if anyone wants to go. So one guy from my shiur volunteered to go. I called him, I said, why you feel so happy that you got to bring the food? He said, mitzvah, ma. Everyone, nobody ate. We're already 1 hour late for lunch. I go, bring the shiur. If I won't go, who's going to go? Nobody wants to go. I said to him, yeah, why all of a sudden you became so generous and running to volunteer? Why? If you knew that the hour that you learn Torah as opposed to the hour of driving to bring the food is replacing diamond with mud, would you agree? Give me 10 diamonds, I give you 10 pieces of stones from the street here. Let's do it. Let's do the deal. Would you agree? You also volunteer? Of course not. So why you volunteer? Even if you had a life to save, someone is dying, and you know how to give him CPR, you know how to revive him. He's dead already, almost dead. And you went to a Hatzala course, you know how to save him, and they run and they call you and have to run two blocks away in the middle of learning, and you save his life. When you feel great, you punished yourself. You got punished from Shamayim. That you had to close the Gemara for 10 minutes. Don't take the Gemara for granted. You don't understand. This is every letter is a diamond you pick up. These days will not return. Will not return. First of all, now you don't have wife, you don't have children, you don't have to worry about Parnassah. You are free and clear. This is the years that your entire future will be determined. But once you finish the year, they'll give you the tools for life. But after that, imen ani limili, you still have to learn. What do you think? Your Rebbe is going to follow you until you be 60? Once you're done here, you got to be independent. That's it. You have to set up time. Yesterday I met a person that all his sons became rabbis or involved with Torah somehow. He told me, of course he helped his children. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave him, so he was able to help them financially. But he said, there's one thing I never compromise on. I made it clear to my children that I will never agree that they would live their life without learning everyday Torah. This is something he insisted, and until today, they all learn, no matter what their businesses are, they don't skip a day of learning. Why? The father was smart. He himself wasn't a big rabbi. Today he knows a lot. He learned a lot himself. But in those days, he was a businessman. But he say, what I didn't have a chance to get in Syria, you here in America, your father has enough to support you. He has enough to pay your food, for your home, for your tuition, for whatever the case is. And you're already there, don't take it for granted. The Radbaz, 400 years ago in Tzfat, one time it was a big snowstorm in Tzfat. Tzfat in Israel, it's all the way in the north, sometimes it's high, so sometimes it's snowing there. One of the people from the Minyan came to Shul for Mincha, and he see the rabbi standing in the Shul crying. So, Rabbi, what happened? Why are you standing here alone and crying? Soon all the people would come for Mincha. So he said, remember the years when my father was alive. So he started to think about my father. So he said, okay, you think about your father, but why you cry? So he said, one time, the teacher in school, the Rebbe, told my father, your son is a star. He's not a regular kid. He has a brain, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave him, he's a ilui. He's a serious learner. I think you should take him a tutor on the side, a serious Rebbe, that he will teach him one-on-one because the class is not in his level. He can run 10 times faster than the class. It's a shame to keep him here in this level of the class. It's holding him back. This is somebody, can be somebody gadol b'Israel. Don't waste time. But he said, my father wasn't a rich man. How is he going to afford a private tutor all month? So my father one time heard that one rich guy is marrying his son. And in the old days, they didn't have heat like we have here. You know how they had heat? They had bricks. They put bricks and they put pieces of wood and they light it with fire. It's a chimney inside the house. Even today, some houses still have it like that. But in order for you to have a chimney, you need bricks. And those bricks were made in Italy. You have to bring special bricks that they don't get black on fire. They resist the fire. So in those days, there was a strike. The people in the port did not want to work. So nobody imported those stones into Israel. Nobody. It's hard to get new stones. So the rich man put a flyer. Someone is willing to sell me his old oven, his old heat. I'll pay big amount of money, even more than a brand new one. Big amount of money. And he said, we had this in the living room. We also bake pita bread on it, at the same time it hit the house. So my father, he asked my mother if she agreed that he's gonna break it apart and he will sell it to the goy, and with this money he's gonna hire me a tutor for X amount of years, you know, that the tutor with this money will teach me Torah. So of course she agreed. They knew the value of the Torah back then. So he said, my father broke the oven and he went and installed it in the house of this rich man for his son. And then he was able to get me a tool there. And because of that, all winter, all my brothers and sisters were shaking in the house from the freezing weather. It's very cold there in the winter. For years, they were freezing for me to learn Torah. So the person asked him, okay, Rabbi, it's a very touching story, but why all of a sudden you think about it after so many years later when you're an older person today, an old man already? He said, because today, when I saw the snow all the way to my knee, I'm not a young man anymore, I started to think, maybe today I will pray at home. It's very difficult to walk all the way to the shul in the snow for an old man with his cane, you know. So maybe today I have a reason, Hashem, you understand, you know. Not a deer, you know. I have to pray, I pray at home. Almost I stay home. But then when it came to my mind how much my father was willing to suffer for me to learn Torah. And I became so spoiled that I was about to pray at home because some snow on the floor. So I started to cry because of how low I can go compared to my father, or how much he was willing to give for his son to learn Torah. This is just to show you that Torah, it's not a joke. You're not here in a picnic here. It's not math. It's not English. It's not whatever other thing. Everything is important. Secular studies, very important. You have to be educated. You live in a country, you need to speak the language. You don't want to look like a fool that people would say, oh, the religious people are dumb. They don't even know how to spell. Or they don't know how to talk. That's a very big chilul Hashem. You need to know. Most of the secular studies in the world, it's total nonsense. And most of it is a lie. But there are secular studies like English, math. This is a necessary thing. You need some science. You need to know some medicine. This is things that, besides the fact that they're helpful for your personal life, they're helpful as a representative of the religion. You don't want people to think, oh, look, all religious people cannot even spell. It's a problem. So it's very important, secular study, but it's not even a billionth of 1 second of Torah. Should always know it. The Gaon Mivilna knew all his secular study from the bathroom. And he was a genius in secular studies, in medicine, in science, in math, genius. He even knew the secrets of music, all the secrets of the musical notes in the upper worlds. Music, it's already Torah. But the rest, math, this, science, whatever he learned, medicine, where do you think he learned it from? He said himself, in the bathroom you're not allowed to learn Torah. So all the 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 10 minutes here, or a period of 7 years, he became a specialist in secular studies. And don't forget, it wasn't like today that you have thousands of books. You pay $10 and you buy a book. What kind of books he had? It was all handwriting. It wasn't like today. There was some printing 250 years ago. It was very difficult to get books. They asked Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, Rabbi, which mitzvah it's hard for you to keep? Everybody thought he's going to say, Ve'afta le'reacha kamocha. Very hard to love somebody like you love yourself. Or lo tachmod. All your life to see nice things that people have, not one time to want it for yourself. Not one time. How can it be? It's very difficult. Or kabel et avicha ve'et imecha. 30, 40 years of hard work, and you still did not get to the level of Esav. That's what Chazal said. So some mitzvot is very difficult to keep. Some mitzvot is very easy to keep. Some mitzvot is very difficult to keep. They expected one of these difficult mitzvot. So he said, there's one mitzvah, I don't understand how it's possible. Guess what mitzvah he said. Very good. He said, how can it be to be in a bathroom a few minutes a day and not to think Divrei Torah while you're there? It's not possible. We have to beg the children, learn, read something. No, I learn in school. I learn in school. What do you mean you learn in school? You come home, you eat dinner, yeah. But you ate in school. Ah, that's delicious. So I want to... But Torah is not delicious for him. You should know one thing. Torah is the most delicious thing. But unlike food, It takes time to recognize how delicious the Torah is. Food, from the first bite, you know if it's delicious or not. Torah sometimes may take years to see the light in it. Why? Because when you eat food, it doesn't matter if your body is pure or is impure, all food is delicious regardless of your spiritual level. But Torah, it's only delicious if your spiritual level reach the minimum level. If it's below minimum, below the red line, you won't see the light of the Torah. Why? You're full of sins. You eat not kosher. You don't wake up in the morning. You never saw the mikveh 20 years. There are certain things that are necessary to make the Torah sweet in your mind, in your mouth. If a person disrespects the Torah, for instance, he will never see the beauty of the Torah because it's a privilege. The Hashem opened new lights after a few years that you prove that you're serious and you take it serious and you make it the most important in your life, not internet, not games, not sport. Everything in life has the time for it. But you show Hashem that the most important thing, you know what you came to the world for. Liot amelei Torah. This week's parasha, im bechukotai telechu, all the mefarshim explain, shetiyu amelim batorah. Why they say shetiyu amelim? Amelim means you put all your efforts and all your soul into the Torah. Why they didn't say, im bechukotai telechu, that you learn Torah? Because in other places they already say to learn Torah. Over here they didn't want to teach you to learn Torah. They wanted to teach you about the obligation to be ready to die for the Torah. Met be'ohala shel Torah. Mukhan liot met. Whatever I have to give, I give for the Torah. Le'olam, a person can never become a talmid chacham, never, if he wants to learn Torah while eating sushi, smoking his cigar and getting a massage. Third year is going to learn Gemara from morning to night, looking for wonderful conditions. He is never going to have kinyan on a Torah. Torah means whether I have where to sleep, whether I don't have to sleep, whether I have a bed, whether I don't have a bed, whether the food is delicious, sometimes it's Chinese, sometimes it's mud. Doesn't make a difference for me. Ben Zion Abba Shaul is a perfect person for us to learn for his life. Why? He had all the ma'alot that the Gemara speaks about in a chacham. All the pshat, complete gaon, all the Kabbalah, the biggest baal midot, moach harif kmo svarato karishonim. Rav Eliashiv was amazed when he read some of the answers that he gave. Rav Eliashiv was a lot older than him. And full of suffering, ran away from politics, ran away from control, ran away from government money, run away from drivers, from servants, from all of it. Do not wear anything special. Stay down to earth. If you don't know who he is, you stand next to him on the street, you think he's selling vegetables. Regular suit, regular koara shel avrech. He was hiding himself until he was 60. Only his talmidim knew who he is. He was hiding himself, not running. Oh, tzadik balair. This is a person that... if you read some of the things he writes, he lived according to that. And it was only 20 years ago when he passed away, not even. Understand? So you have to understand, Amal HaTorah, to be ready to give all your life for the Torah, it's no joke. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when he was your age, they didn't have nice yeshiva, air condition, rag. What do you think? They had this? First of all, half of the yeshiva did not have mattresses in their dorm. And it wasn't beautiful weather, it was the freezing weather of Russia. Also 20, 30 below zero, snow, storm. And they had to sleep on the floor. No mattress, no bed, on the floor, on a freezing floor like ice. When he was 15, 16, his uncle did not have children. His uncle sent him, first of all, you should know how he was born. His mother, when she was pregnant, the doctor told her that the kid is risking your life, you have to make an abortion. So life risk. His pregnancy is full of risk. You have to make an abortion, she refused. She said, if I die, I die. And she already had 8 kids. She had 8 kids. So he was the 9th one. She said, if I die, if Hashem wants to take me, he takes me. I'm not killing the baby. Even if my life is in a risk, I give my life for him. So in the end, he was born Baruch Hashem healthy. And after that, in the Holocaust, all her 8 children got murdered, and he's the only one who survived. Imagine if she would make an abortion, she would die with no kids. But the one that he came to the world, he was better than all 8 combined, without even knowing who they are. I don't know who they are. Even if they're all rabbis. Because somebody like Rav Shach, you have once in 100 years. What was special about him? When he was a kid, his uncle sent him a letter. I don't have children. I'm getting older. Who's going to inherit my big factory? Who am I going to leave it to? You're the only relative I have that can inherit and run the place. I want you to come here. You'll have everything. You have a place. You have a place to live, food. And I want to teach you the business. One day it's going to be all yours. Imagine now your uncle send you such a letter. Come to LA. You have a $10 million factory. It's waiting for you. And you're learning yeshiva. So he needs you right now. He cannot wait until you'll be 18. He needs you right now. Unfortunately, 99% of the teenager would not hesitate a second. Rabbi, thank you, it was nice. Thank you for the Torah you taught me. Pack the bag. Before the email arrives, he's already in the train station. Hi. Money. Mammon. People are crazy about it. Why do they call it kesef? Because people nichsafim elam. Nichsaf. Kisufim means miss it, want it, desire it all the time. So Rav Shach, after a few years, he sleep on the floor and doesn't have a mattress. He already got a ticket. His uncle sent him some money. He got a ticket for the train. He said goodbye to all the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was trying to convince him. He said, listen, I'm going over there. There's also yeshivot. He's on the way out of the yeshiva. A widow came. A widow. Hi, this is the yeshiva here? Yes. You see, she's holding a mattress. He said, I heard that half of the boys here do not have a mattress. I would like to donate. This mattress was belonged to my husband, but he just died, and today I finished the shiva. I don't need an extra mattress in the house. Why don't one of the guys here will get a mattress instead of sleeping on a freezing floor? So she looked at him. He was in shock. She said, do you have a mattress? He said, no. For years I don't have. Only the older ones in yeshiva get the mattress. And then when they leave, the next one on the list. She said, okay, I'm giving it to you as a gift. She gave him the mattress and left. He's standing with a big bag, and now he's with a mattress outside of the yeshiva. Now I want to ask you a question. What would you do if you were in his situation? After you say goodbye to everyone, everyone hugged you, kissed you, the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, they gave you letters, yeah, Chazak Baruch, we'll pray for you, be successful in a new place. And now you're about to go and to become a millionaire and to own a big factory. And all of a sudden, a woman. I cannot ignore what Hashem says. He turned back into the yeshiva and he became the biggest chacham in the world. What do you think? Imagine if he would leave the yeshiva and go to business. Do you think anybody today would know who Rav Shach is? No. Nobody became Rav Shach from eating Chinese and smoking cigars. Nobody became Rav Shach or Rav Ovadia or anyone from playing games on the internet or from being on Facebook half of his life. Or sitting in a park with his friends, talking about all the nonsense in the world. Or watching sport. Or playing all day sport. You want to be something in your life? Remember, if you be a millionaire, you're still a total zero. If you be a youth scientist, you're a big zero. If you be a big professor, you're a big zero. None of it will get you to heaven. It's not the purpose of life. If you be a big tzaddik, talmid chacham, baal midot, nobody is like you in the world. And the only way to become like that is to take serious the Torah. Ein am haaretz chassid. Nobody can correct his horrible midot without Torah. No way. no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no courses, no this Baba and this Maharaji and this Indian and this French guy. It's all nonsense. You should know one thing. When a person learns Torah, he begins to understand the level of the one who gave the Torah. If you never learn Torah, Hashem is nothing for him. If you don't believe me, go to a serious yeshiva that everyone learns Torah very serious, and go to the market when there's also people with yarmulke, and see how they behave in every day with Hashem relationship in a market, and how they behave when those who are connected deeply in Torah. You see, like, it's heaven and earth. It's like a person and a monkey. There's nothing even to compare. Both have yarmulke. Yarmulke, it's $2 and a beard is for free, especially in a Omer. Yes. But you look at this person, he also have yarmulke. Some of them even have big beard and a nice baret hat. He sit in a market. Once in his life, he did not learn normally Torah. Once in his life. He read a little bit in a shul, a little bit here. He reads flyer of Shabbat that they give in a shul. 2 lines here, 2 lines there. A little bit help from his son. After 30 years, you ask him, "No, Moshe, you have beautiful beard. You're 60, you're 70. All your life you're religious. Give us a 5 minutes drasha of Torah." He cannot say one dvar Torah, nothing. 60 years old in the world. He has no dvar Torah. Mute. Do you want your end to be like this? Do you want one day your children would come and say, "Abba, what Tosfot says here?" "I'm busy now, son." "Why you say you're busy?" "Because you don't know. Because in class you put your head down. You play games with your Rebbe. He has to see where you are." You understand? You have to take life serious. Life is Torah. Not money. Not college. Torah, it's life. I didn't say it. Hashem say it. Who knows better? Us or Hashem? Us or the Goyim? Us or Obama or Hashem? Who knows better? The head of Harvard University or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who do you want to choose? The scientists that every day make a new lie about the world and about this and about that, and then in the end we find out that it's all nonsense? You want to worship them? So it says like this. Al yedei esek haTorah, being busy with Torah all your life, you come to the real recognition about how serious, how severe, and how strict is Hashem. In one hand, you fall in love with him when you see the beauty of the Torah, and when you begin to see the deepness, the depth of the Torah, how deep it goes, how amazing it is. Nothing in the world comes even near it. So you are amazed for such a thing. You know no Torah, how are you going to be amazed? You don't know what to be amazed from. I do not know anything about art. You show me $100 million picture of Picasso on the street in the garbage, I won't pick it up. A waste of time. But someone who understands about art and see it in a garbage pile, what would happen to him? Right away he'll faint. When you see $100 million picture, why it's $100 million? Because according to those who understand about art, they know that this is a special artist. Not everyone is in this level. Even that the other artist for us looks the same. You take somebody from the village, you know, these hippies who make pictures, and you put it and you give it to a person who doesn't know about art. You say, "This is a picture and this is a picture. Which one you like better?" The $10 picture, he likes better. Say, "If you fool, this is $100 million, this is $10 million. This is $10. Get the shock of his life. I saw a statue that one woman, Syrian woman from the community, she bought from $104 million. One statue. When I look at the statue, I was smiling to myself. If I saw it on the street in the garbage, I would not bend down to pick it up. That's how ugly it is. Ugly, ugly, mamash, like, I don't even see anything. But apparently there are people who understand about art. They're willing to pay that much money. Not everything we understand in life. Not everything we understand. So one thing before we finish, we have mamash a minute or two. Some people think if they learn philosophy or other wisdoms, they will be good and decent. But delu dvarim betelim. This is total nonsense. There's no way to be real good, good in the definition according to Hashem's opinion. According to Arabs' opinion, good is to murder Jews. That's what's good by them. The more you hate Jews and the more you're willing to kill them, the more good you are in their eyes. Right? The Nazis has the same ideology. According to American black people, the better athlete you are, the better good person you are, even though there's no connection. He knows how to jump and dunk the ball and makes him a better person. Reality-wise, everyone want to be his friend. Right? They don't want to be a friend of someone anonymous. They want to be a friend of someone like this. That's good in their eyes. They admire that. So in the opinion of Hashem, what's considered to be good, the only way to be good is through Torah. But in the beginning, it's hard to see it. But after a while, it's like a doctor that say to a patient, if you eat this food, you will die one day. But the patient ignored what Hashem say, what the doctor said. When the patient will know that the doctor was right, 10 years later when he'll be dead, or 5 minutes before he die. But by now it will be too late. So now, do you want to learn it the hard way, to find out before you die that Hashem was right, that without Torah you have nothing in life? Or you want to believe him and start being more serious about your Torah, and even when you're done with school? That's where the real Torah begins. School is preparation for life. After that, it's a much higher level. Why? You see it, you have chevruta, it's more mature, your head is already more experienced in life. All the teenager nonsense is behind you. Those are the years, what do you think? Bezrat Hashem, Bezrat Hashem, we'll finish with one Mishnah that we all know, and that's what's something that you should remember. The Torah says, "Kachi darka shel Torah." This is the way of Torah. Prat b'melach tochal, bread, not fresh, with salt. That's lunch. Rabbi, what's to eat today? Bread from 2 days ago, and a little salt. No problem. What do you think of Ben Zion Abba Shaul ate in Yeshiva? Bread from 2 days ago, and black coffee from the morning, lunch. Now it's 4 hours on the table, black coffee, Israeli Turkish coffee. He took the bread, because it was very hard from 2 days ago, it's hard to bite from it. Dip it in the coffee, make it a little bit soft, eat it. Sometimes he was eating tomato also, because he didn't want to waste time on running, making, buying, this. And that's how he became what he became. What do you think? You sit with your tie and your $10,000 watch, and you come in a fancy restaurant and eat like this, you know. Rabbi, hold the driver open for you. Maybe you'll be Donald Trump, but Torah you'll never know. Let's be honest. Did you ever saw a kid that grew up in a fancy lifestyle, very spoiled, with servant, with maids, parents gave him everything he want. One in America that became Talmid Chacham, show me one. All the Gdolei Torah checked their childhood, they had nothing. Rav Ben Zion, there was no money for bus. Of Rav Ovadia, same story. Rav Eliashiv, Rav Oerbach, all of them. What did they have in those days? Nothing, it was nothing. Later they became very rich, Baruch Hashem. Kolam Kayem Torah Me'oni, you give your life when poverty for the Torah, you ended up being wealthy also. So it says like this, Pat b'melach tochal, bread with salt, chaye tzar tichye, life of sorrow, you'll be ready to live. Uvatorah ta'amel, you put all your efforts in learning Torah, ve'im ata oseken, and if you do that, ashrecha ve'tov lach, you're lucky, and it's very good to you, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, ve'tov lach ba'olam haba. There's a very big kashya here. Ashrecha ba'olam haba, we understand. I suffered 6 years, gave my life for the Torah, I gave up business, I gave up pleasure to be a Talmid Chacham, to be a Tzaddik, to work on my Midot. So Olam Haba Baruch Hashem, I have great forever. But why Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh? Over here I suffered. Over here I sweat non-stop. Over here there were days when there's nothing to eat. One rabbi told me when he was a kid in yeshiva, 3 days they did not have food. 3 days in a row, Yom Kippur. He said all the Talmidim were sitting in yeshiva and you hear their stomach grinding. You hear from their stomach. This was the noise in yeshiva, like frogs. All the yeshiva, 3 days. And everyone was sitting and learning. Today you skip lunch, demonstration with signs. What kind of yeshiva is this? What? It was a different generation, only one generation ago. Why Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh? Because when you see the beauty of the Torah and the happiness it brings the soul, you don't even miss the delicious food. You don't miss the pleasure. You don't miss the money. You don't care about it. If you need it, you're addicted to material, you're not in Torah. If you don't have the material, you become very sad and very depressed. But if you put all your life in the Torah and you give up all this, after a while, you don't even have the need. They tell you, come, there's delicious steak out there. Waste of time. No, I have no need for that. No desire for that. No desire for that. This is the way you can get. You can get to this level. It's not a dream what I tell you, because people until today, there are people like this in the world. I know few. They are like this today in the world. And when they're in your age, they were nothing better than you. Which means you can also do it. You just remember, Bezrat Hashem, first, to appreciate what you get, your parents that put you here, the rabbis who give their life to teach you. Don't take it for granted. Don't be ungrateful. If you be ungrateful, you won't have blessing in your learning. After 20 years in yeshiva, you will know nothing. Why? Because Hashem cannot stand ungrateful people. Give me, give me, give me. What did you do for me? You did nothing for me. This is how most people are. Don't complain. Look at the positive. Nobody is perfect. No one is an angel. People make mistakes. Could be the biggest rabbi in the world. You may make mistake with you. Don't look at the negative. Look at all the positive. What is this? One little problem, right away you wiped out all the good? That's the way you judge people? Bezrat Hashem, first of all, you can go, come after Mincha and take more CDs from me if you want. Give to friends, parents, cousins. The trunk is full of CDs, Bezrat Hashem. But Bezrat Hashem, lectures were not given to sit and enjoy or to think about tshuva while you're listening. Lectures is a seed in the ground. You put a seed in the ground, you don't leave the seed. You begin to put water, you trim it, you take care of it, you put shade on it, you put sun on it, whatever it needs. This tonight, this today, it was only putting the seed in your mind. But if you're not going to continue and maintain it, don't forget what you heard here. I'm sure your rabbis told you more or less what I said. It's Shiva, I'm sure. But maybe I concentrate everything in one hour here. That you remember that this conversation could be crucial for your future and for your eternity. Eternity, remember, not only for the next 40 years. For eternity, remember, people who made it, that they are remembered in history, those are the ones who listened and did. And the one who listened and did nothing, nobody knows who they are. Bezrat Hashem, I wish all of you atzlacha in your learning. Bruchim to you. Kol to.
Right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you.